Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 85, Text Number 1. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna imparted divine knowledge to his father and, along with Lord Balaram, retrieved his mother's dead sons. Having heard the visiting sages glorify Krishna, Vasudeva ceased to regard him and Balaram as his sons and began praising their omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After glorifying his sons, Vasudeva fell at Lord Krishna's lotus feet and begged him to drive away the conception that the Lord was his son. Instead, Lord Krishna restored that conception by instructing Vasudeva in the science of Godhead, and upon hearing these instructions, Vasudeva became peaceful and free of doubt. Then Mother Devaki praised Krishna and Balaram, reminding them how they had retrieved the dead son of their spiritual master. She said, "Please fulfill my desire in the same way. Please bring back my sons who were killed by Kamsa so I may see them once again." Entreated in this way by their mother, the two lords went to the subterranean planet of Shutala, where they approached Bali Maharaj. King Bali greeted them respectfully, offering them seats of honour, worshipping them and reciting prayers. Krishna and Balaram then requested Bali to return Devaki's dead sons. The lords received the boys from Bali and returned them to Devaki, who felt such a surge of affection for them that milk began spontaneously flowing from her breasts. Overjoyed, Devaki fed the children her breast milk, and by drinking the remnants of milk once drunk by Lord Krishna himself, they regained their original forms as demigods and went back to heaven. Sri Madhuraya Nayeru Vacha
Sri Madhuraya Nayeru Vacha
Atvaika Dhatmajo Prapto
Atvaika Dhatmajo Prapto
Krita Pada Bivandana
Krita Pada Bivandana
Vasudeva Binandya
Vasudeva Binandya
Vidya Sankarsana Chuto
Vidya Sankarsana Chuto
Sri Madhuraya Nirvacha
Sri
Vadaraya Prapto Vita Pada Vivandana
Vita Pada Vivandana
Vasudeva Vinandya
Vasudeva Vinandya
Vitya Sankarsana Chuta
Vitya Sankarsana Chuta
Badaraya Nirvacha
Sri Badaraya Nirvacha
Vaikadatma Jo Prapto
Vaikadatma Jo Prapto
Vita Pada Vivandanao
Vita Pada Vivandanao
Vasudevo Vinandya
Vasudevo Vinandya
Vitya Sankarsana Chuto
Vitya Sankarsana Chuto
Sri Vadaraya Nirvacha
Sri Vadaraya Nirvacha
Vidyatma Jo Having heard the great sage's words concerning the power of his two sons, and having seen their valorous deeds, Vasudeva became convinced of their divinity. Thus addressing them by name, he spoke to them as follows: Krishna Krishna Mahayogin Sankashana Sanatana Janevam Asya Yatsakshat Pradhana Purushao Paro. Vasudeva said, O Krishna, Krishna, best of yogis, O eternal Sankarshan, I know that you, too, are personally the source of universal creation and the ingredients of creation as well. Purport. As taught in the Sankhya doctrine of Lord Kapiladeva, Pradhana is the creative energy of the Purusha, the Supreme Person. Thus, of these two principles, the Pradhana is the predominated energy, female, incapable of independent action, while the Purush is the absolutely independent primeval creator and enjoyer. Neither Krishna nor his brother Balaram belong to the category of subordinate energy, rather both of them together are the original Purusha, who is always joined by his manifold potencies of pleasure, knowledge and creative emanation. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhuttale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dhananti Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yakripa Tamahamande Sri Guru Dinatarinam.
Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, yad yada charati shrestas tat tat evetaro janaha sayatramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate.
And whatever standards of behavior the exemplars, the acharyas, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever standards of behavior he sets, then the common men will follow. So in this case, Krishna and Balaram are following the principles of Dharma, and they're coming in the morning every day to Vasudeva and they're offering their obeisances. This is the proper thing to do. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is dharmic principle. Not necessarily a bhakti principle. Right? Take for example Prahlad Maharaj and Aranyakashipu. When Aranyakashipu ordered Prahlad Maharaj to stop preaching and to stop associating with the devotees, then he ignored his father. Because he was respectful to his father. Still respectful to his father. But not inclined to follow his instructions, which is the ultimate sign of respect in one sense, you know, because you can always be, you know, yes, 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 respectful, and then just ignore what the person tells you to do, which in one sense is just being rude, disrespectful in fact. So this principle of however the principle of respecting one's seniors is essential in spiritual life. If one wants to make progress, one has to be respectful to the previous acharyas, Mahajana Jena Katasa Panta. The path of religiosity is already travelled by the previous saints and sages, and those who want to be successful in the practice of Krishna consciousness need to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. In other words, it means they have to be respectful to them and faithful to their instructions. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita how the sages have gone back home, back to Godhead, but they've left the means by which we can also go home, back to Godhead. And that means is by following their instructions. And the spiritual master is the embodiment of the instructions of the previous acharyas, and so therefore it behooves the aspiring transcendentalist to approach a bona fide spiritual master and take instructions from them. Their instructions being the distillation, if you like, of the instructions of the previous acharyas. We can see that in the example of Srila Prabhupada. And we can see how Prabhupada established within ISKCON very, very prominently this principle of worship of the Guru. And especially worship of the founder Acharya, not just any old Guru in one sense, but specifically of himself. Which is interesting. It's an interesting principle, and that's what's being demonstrated here by Krishna and Balaram, this respect for the senior, and especially in spiritual life, respect for the order and instructions of the spiritual master. In our case, especially in the order and instructions of Srila Prabhupada, because of his unique position, and the fact that every guru that comes after Srila Prabhupada will be should be faithfully transmitting the instructions and the knowledge that he's given us. If it wasn't for Prabhupada, then we wouldn't have.
Well, none of us would be here, basically.
So therefore, you know, we pray every day. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. We offer our respects to the lotus feet of this of the authority, of the respectful senior in spiritual life, meaning, you know, the guru. And in our case, Srila Prabhupada. Then, you know, so that's Mangalartik, and then after we chanted our japa and created the deities, and again worship the guru. And specifically worship Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya. So this offering of respect is significant. Krishna and Balaram offering respects to their father, we offer respects to our spiritual father every day. And when one is respectful to the spiritual master, even respect, and even not only the spiritual master, if one is respectful to anybody, actually, then those persons are inclined to be then kind and beneficent on the junior. So then, and this is Vedic culture actually. When the sadhus or saintly persons come to a person's house and they're greeted warmly with a smile, with a garland, with a greeting, a seat, if the feet are washed usually, especially, you know, which makes, it's not just a tradition, but you know, if a sadhu has been walking for a long way on the roads, then the feet will be dirty, basically, and aching. So when you give them a good wash, then that relieves the tension and the stress of travel. So, and then aarti or puja is offered to the respected personality, then something to eat, then even a bed, take a rest. Then when the senior is treated in that way, then they'll naturally then be affectionate and kind to the junior. So the disciples will welcome and greet the spiritual master. And in that way then be blessed by the instructions that are given by the guru. And of course the disciples should also be inquisitive. Tadvidhi pranipratena pariprasnena sevaya. One should be inquisitive to ask questions. That will inspire the mercy of the guru. The mercy of the spiritual master is manifest in his instructions. That's why Prabhupada wrote so many books. So we wouldn't be short of things to do, or to know what to do. Or when somebody comes along and says, you know, worship me, then, you know, hang on a second, this is not what Prabhupada told us. So this principle is being demonstrated by Krishna and Balaram. And there's a bit of a dilemma here, because Krishna and Balaram are actually the supreme worshipable. The supreme worshipful, if you like. Vasudeva is a little bit confused in this section of the Bhagavatam, because he has this natural affection for his sons. Yeah, this chapter actually describes events that have taken place within the previous chapter, because at the moment everybody's actually Krishna and Balaram have actually returned to Dwarka, and Nanda Maharaj has gone to Raj. But this is a description of, you know, an event that occurred when they were all together. And actually, I assume it must be in Dwarka. Perhaps this is in Dwarka. No, it must be. Maybe it's, yeah. No, it is after the previous chapter. But anyway, Vasudeva has just heard the instructions of the sages at Kurukshetra, and they've disturbed his meditation because they've been describing how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of the whole creation. Balaram is his first expansion. From then come the whole material universes and all of the different planetary systems and so forth, and all of the different living entities from that material energy. And so Vasudeva is seeing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as it mentioned in the introduction, he's actually praying to Krishna Balaram, please remove this conception that I have that you're my son. He's complaining that Krishna Balaram offering respects to him, and he's thinking, hang on, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What are you offering your obeisances to me for? I should be offering my respects to you. Just creating tension for Vasudeva in his natural mood of affection, and which is more powerful, his mood of affection and love for his boys. So as a result of the association of the sages, then he's seeing Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. Krishna, Krishna, you are the best of all yogis. Sankarsana Sanatana. Sankarsana, Balaram. You are the eternal. Sankarsana. Janeva Amasya Yatsakshat. I know that you two are personally the source of the creation. Pradana Purusho Paro. You are the Supreme Purush, the Supreme Personality, who is the source of the Pradana, the creative principle of nature. That's Pradana means, you know, the material energy in its rawest form. So I know you're the source of Vasudeva. I know you're paying your obeisances to me, but I know that you're the source of creation. Everything comes from you. What's that? Aham. Savasya. Prabhavo. Matasaram pravartate iti matta vajante mabuddha bhava samambita. The wise, the intelligent, know that Krishna is the source of everything. Also Balaram. Krishna and Balaram are the original personality of Godhead. Krishna being exactly the same as Krishna except for his different colour. And he also happens to be the older brother, at least in the Leela aspect. Krishna, Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. And the first servant too, actually. Krishna, he's the first servitor of Krishna. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's not subservient to anybody, but still, as the first expansion of the Lord, he acts as the first servant. And so, you know, in the spiritual world, then the seat, the resting place, the shoes, the Brahman thread, the clothes, all these different features of the Lord are manifest by Sankarsana. So in that way he serves the Lord. Because, you know, for him service is not a chore. Like, oh no, what am I going to do? Where's my name on the roster today? He doesn't have to. He's like Krishna. If Krishna wants something, then it just happens. So Lord Balaram just serves Krishna. He just does it. It's his natural propensity. It's his nature to serve. And so he's the Adi Guru also. Lord Balaram is the Adi Guru, Lord Nityananda, the expansion of Lord Balaram. They're the original Guru. In that, they serve Krishna, just as the spiritual master serves Krishna. So Balaram also serves Krishna. He enjoys that. Yet he still remains the original personality of Godhead. And, you know, from the different expansions that come, the quadruple expansions, coming from Lord Balaram, then we get the Mahavishnu. And from Mahavishnu comes the material universes. Then within the material universes, the Lord appears as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and supports the planetary systems within the different universes. And then as Chirudakshaya Vishnu, then he, as the Super Soul, resides with all of the living energies within all of the atoms the Super Soul exists. He's all pervading as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's guiding the wanderings of everybody. So I said here, he's the source of the subordinate energy. The pradana is the ingredients that make up. So it's also called, I think it's also called the mahatattva. The original manifestation of the material energy, but in an inert state. And Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, by his glance over the material energy, then he activates it into action. The living entities are impregnated within that pradana, and then everything starts to, the material creation starts to churn, if you like, starts to work, giving all of the bodies of the living entities, giving all of the facilities of the planetary systems and so forth. Engineered by Lord Brahma, but Lord Brahma also a living entity who's placed in that situation by the glance of the Supreme Person. That is the Mahapurush, the original Purush. Just as, and Prabhupada gives the example, just as a woman can't give birth to a child without the husband or the father impregnating the womb of the mother with the semen, which carries the generative or the procreative energy. So similarly also, the material energy by itself can't create anything. And so therefore it remains subservient to, if you like, the master, or the controller. He's the creating. He creates the material energy and then imbues it with, or places within it, the active potency of generation. Here, Prabhupada says, as mentioned here. Neither Krishna nor his brother Balaram belong to the category of subordinate energy. They're not subordinate. The material energy is subordinate under the control and direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is the original and supreme controller. Both of them together are the original Purush, who was always joined by his manifold potencies of pleasure, knowledge and creative emanation. So this is Ladini Shakti, Chit Shakti. And this, the manifestation of the material creation. Krishna is the original Purusha. He is the source of all of the different emanations. There's that word, Ekadasha, Ekadesha, what is it? Ekadesha, Stitasjagya. Jojna Vishtarini Yatha. That explains how Krishna is situated within the spiritual realm And the spiritual and material creations are emanating from him, just as the heat and light of a fire emanates out of the fireplace and covers or expands itself into the rest of the room. So similarly, Krishna is situated in his original domain, his original abode, and from him then all of the different spiritual and material universes are emanating. And so as such, that he remains the supreme controller. As mentioned here, absolutely independent. This is why Prabhupada will challenge the scientists. You know, create something from matter. Or Prabhupada saying, life comes from life. If you think matter is the source of everything, then create something from matter. You know, Prabhupada would say, it doesn't have to be a big thing, just, you know, give us a little ant or something small. Create it from your test tube. No, the spiritual principle is superior. And as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, in the material world, there's a superior energy and an inferior energy. The inferior energy is dominated by, or exploited by, predominated by the spiritual potency. Of course, the material energy has its own potency, and what happens to the living energies, because we are tatashta shakti, then even though we are actually superior, the living energy is superior to the material energy, this material energy has this potency where when a living energy is placed within it, and he has a desire to want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then he gets his original spiritual identity gets covered over. So in that sense, the material energy has a potency and can overpower or bewilder the living energy. But ultimately, of the two, the living energy is superior. Why? Because he's conscious. And the material energy is, you know, unconscious. It only appears to move and act when the spirit is present. And we see that at the time of death, when the spirit soul leaves the body, then what have you got? Just a lump of matter. No life anymore, because the spirit soul's gone. So the material energy is subordinate to the master. That's Krishna. So Vasudeva is saying, I know who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from you comes the material creation. And you are always in charge of the material creation. Even if you act as if you're just an ordinary person, you're acting like an ordinary person, like two obedient boys coming and offering your obeisances to me. Right? Acting just like an ordinary person, as if subordinate to the material energy, like the rest of the living energies in the material creation. Right? But Vasudeva is saying, but I know, because of his association with the sages, he's saying, I know, you're not an ordinary person. You're the supreme person. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. You're the greatest yogi. The eternal Sankarshan. The source of the whole creation. So in this way, Vasudeva is offering his respect to Krishna and Balaram as the supreme controller of the whole creation. And his worshipping the Lord in this mood of awe and reverence, which is somewhat conflicts actually, or contradicts his relationship with them as the father. So we're going to explore this further in these next few verses, where Vasudeva is glorifying the Lord with prayers. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, through you, Prabhu.
What's the specific difference between the Nanda Maharaj and the Shodhita Devi and compared to Vasudeva Devi?
The difference. Well, everybody in Braj knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but their mood of, depending on the relationship that they have with Krishna, their affection, their love for Krishna overpowers and makes them forget, basically, their subordinacy, if you like, to the Supreme Person. So at least one comment I can make, in the case of Vasudeva and Devaki, they saw Krishna manifest in his forearm form when he was born, right? So they have a stronger impression, if you like, of Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they have that mood of reverential service, if you like, more strongly because of the nature of their particular relationship, in their particular service, if you like. Whereas Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they see, on occasion Mother Yashoda saw the universal form in Krishna when he opened up his mouth. But, she just forgets it. Ignores. Whereas here Vasudeva is more conscious of that relationship. But he and Devaki also have this very strong, paternal, parental affection for Krishna and Balaram. So they too also forget from time to time that they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they also have that, that love, very strong love, and that love for the two boys overcomes any sense of awe and reverence when they, when they see them, they want, they sit them on their lap and they smell their head and they just, even though they're grown men, they still can't, they still just have this very strong affection for their children. I notice that, with my mother, when I go home, she still wants to make my bed and, wash my clothes and cook. She wants to do things. We have a bit of a competition at home to stop my mum from cooking. She just wants to, as I said before, she's learnt, that if she wants to cook a meal, she has to offer everything. So she knows how to do the offering, or, that's the process. She knows the process. So they're very strong, the mothers have a very strong effect. Even their children are grown up, but still they can't help but serve their children. So that overcomes any, kind of reality of, he's not a baby anymore. So, So there's, you know, Nanda, you could say that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are more deeply immersed, if you like, in that mood of Vatsalya Ras, to the point where, you know, the Aishwarya, the seeing Krishna and Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not a dominant theme in their consciousness, in their relationship with them. And we see in Vasudeva and Devaki that theme is more prominent, but still is overcome by the paternal affection, by the Vatsalya Rasa from time to time. So it manifests, but and more strongly than it might appear in Nanda and Yashoda. So there's a difference. There's a significant difference in their relationship and in the way it manifests as Vatsalya Rasa. Yes, Cintra. Prana. Pradhana. Yes, Pradhana.
It's called Prana, also being the energy of the universe.
No, Pradhana.
It's
called Pradhana. Prana. Prana is the life energy in the body.
I know, but what I couldn't link up, we meant to have 72,000 nadis. And, you know, they're only all the diagrams on the show, positive and negative channels, and I was wondering whether this is a generator, you know, of all the nadis, because that's the point that the acupuncturists treat, you know, they become blessed. So is the spiritual energy something separate? The super soul or the super soul, the generator of the soul within the body that circulates and the nadis in the subtle body?
I don't know. I mean, ultimately, everything comes from I'm not even sure what a nadi is, so I can't really comment.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
sure. What time can I pass a full chapter between everyone wants to see the Lord, the soul that is from the other in the form, and when the battle took place, you know, when Krishna appears in a grown up form? So, did many years pass?
Well, he's grown up here.
He's grown up here.
Yeah, he's grown up here. Because he tells at the end of this, it's interesting because the order of these pastimes is a little bit shifted here, because we've already heard of the pastimes of killing Sishupala and killing Dandavakta and so forth. And at the end of this pastime of the sages, you know, doing these performances for Vasudeva at Kurukshetra, Krishna tells Vasudeva that he's going to, you know, kill Shishupala and do all of these things. So now we know that they were there for at least 3 months, because it took 3 months for Nanda Maharaj to decide that he would go home. And this was before the rainy season, so it's the summertime. So, you know, it appears that these pastimes took place in the beginning of the year, in the spring and summer season, basically. That's when they took place. And for a few months, they were at Kurukshetra. You know, if you sat down and if you looked at it closely, you could probably work it out. But this events at Kurukshetra actually took place for a lot of the other pastimes that have preceded, actually.
Yeah,
me too. That's my placement.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Prabhu, I have a friend, this guy, he is for something like
He's what?
He's also a devotee of Lord Krishna. That's what he.
He's a devotee. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's what he tells you.
Sorry.
That's what he tells you.
Yeah, that's what he tells me. And he also chants every day and all those things. But what he tells me is, one has to become a devotee of Lord Krishna initially, and then ultimately he understands that he is God. That's what he says. So one has to become a servant first.
What kind of a God is? What kind of a servant is that?
He says that I and God are one and the same. The only thing is because of my false ego, I haven't realized that I am God. So I become a devotee of Lord Krishna, serve him, and then I realize that I am God. So he, and I asked him about like which scripture he is referring to. And he tells me that apparently Guru asked him not to refer to any scriptures.
We can strike him out right from that particular point. If his guru tells him, don't refer to any scriptures, then we can understand that he's bogus.
So he tells me that, like, apparently guru visits all these Goloka Vrindavan and all these places, and then he gets to find out and he feels that knowledge
to be straight away. So what this is over-emphasizing the position of the guru. Right? Our philosophy is the guru is as good as God, but what they do is they make the guru better than God. In fact, they make the guru God. Then not only that, they make themselves God as well. The guru tells you, you're God. I'm God. We're all God. We just haven't realized it yet. This is basically cheating.
So he keeps coming to my house and he keeps giving me all these books all the time.
But then he must be referring to some Shastra if he's giving you books.
Oh, books are written by his guru.
Yeah, that's right. The guru. The emphasis is on the guru alone.
Yeah.
But no reference to the Shastra. So we can understand this is just a concoction. this is a distortion, actually, of the actual principle of service to God. We don't serve God to become God. And you know, this is demonic, actually. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that those who create their own process, this is the demons, they create their own process of worship. Or they make a man God. They make an ordinary person God. So the guru says, I am God. And people say, oh yes, you are God. So that's why this is, you know, the demoniac create their own processes. The guru is seen as good as God because he is God's representative. But he doesn't say worship me because I'm God. He says worship Krishna because he's God. And he'll teach us, you know, I'm a servant and you're a servant, and our job, our position is to serve God. Not, you know, because it's in one sense, you know, this kind of philosophy is really damaging because, you know, I'm God, you're God, so therefore, you know, whatever we do is okay.
On my body.
Yeah. Nonsense.
My body.
Just a nonsense. I hardly ever meet such people. You're lucky you get to meet such crazy people. That help you fine-tune your understanding of Krishna consciousness when you meet such people. I met it when I was in Noida. I told the devotees, you know, there's this man at Budimanta's building his house, and he came and he wanted to talk to me, and he was saying basically the same thing, you know, the Brahman is. Now I said to him, I said, how is it that the ultimate doesn't have what we've got? It's less than us. The ultimate is impersonal. How can God not have something that his creation's got? Why is that? And he said a similar thing. He said, oh yes, he comes in his personal form as the guru. This kind of. I said, no. God is a person. That's how come you and I are persons, because he's a person. We can't have something that he hasn't got. If he's the source of everything, then he's got to be a person also. Because he can't, you know, he can't give something that he hasn't got. I wonder why Buddy Munt got me to speak to him, and then I realised, you know, he said, I can't speak to him like that because he's my client, but you can. I'd like to tell him these things, but I can't. So they put emphasis on this, the formless feature. That's the ultimate for them. The ultimate is the formless feature. And the personal manifestation of that formless feature is the guru who tells you that actually you're formless. The philosopher, oh no, this is stupid. This is just so stupid, I can't believe that you're even saying this. And I'm thinking, what are you, idiot? What are you talking about? You're talking out of your your insanity.
Yeah.
And there are actually people who think like that. I was surprised. I have met them, but not very often. This is one of the advantages of associating with devotees. Primarily, is that you don't hear crazy philosophers. But then when you do, it's sort of like, whoa, where did you get that from? No, we're all God. Well, I don't know what they think. It's hard to work out what they think because it doesn't make sense for a devotee. When you hear this sort of stuff, it just doesn't make sense. And we're getting this is a madman talking.
And who is a guru? Who can be a guru for
them? Who can be a guru? I don't know. It sounds like basically anybody can be a guru because we're all God.
Yeah, anybody can realize that they're God.
Yeah. Because he's the one who's he's the one who's convinced them. He's the one who's taking money out of their pocket.
He's the one who's audacious enough to
explain. Yeah. Yeah, he's the biggest rascal. He's rascal enough to stand up and say, you know, I'm God.
Actually, he showed me his guru's photo and he was an infantry commander, sir. And I asked him, how come he's a military commander, sir? And he said, like, that is his manifested form.
Yeah, he's passed on wearing his military uniform. Ah, oh, dear me, this is good to have a bit of a laugh on a Monday morning, isn't it? Oh, this is quite unique. I think this is a unique opportunity for you.
he's doing that very lots of preaching like in London now.
I think?
Yeah. Right. Mean, we'll turn.
Right, well, don't let him come here. We'll turf him out.
A lot of Christians, when you meet them in the street, they say that they seem to think that Christ is God.
They seem to think?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I sang in church choirs for many years in life, but I think it's more this evangelical movement that, you know, Christ is not only the Son of God, but He is God.
Yeah. Well, we say that too in one sense, you know, the Guru is the servant of God, but He's also as good as God. So, you know, He has to be obeyed as if He is God. And that's a similar. Ah, yes, there's all sorts of confusion out there in the world.
Yeah. Christians.
And even Jesus himself said, I am the Son of God. Yeah. But he clearly presented himself as he was. I'll tell you why there are some problems. The teachings of Christ were not recorded until about 70 years after he had departed. Right? And even there is disparity between the different Gospels because, you know, the Christian church is built basically on the Gospels, right? And so it actually took some time before the Christian theology was solidified into a structured, you know, ordered kind of a way. And so it's not surprising, and another fact is that, you know, there is some divergence between the different events in the different Gospels, different emphasis and so forth. sarvam, you know, there are different interpretations. Even in Islam, for example, they have similar problems. Even they had a problem of succession which split the whole Islamic tradition into two. Basically, yeah, either you know, who would succeed Muhammad. And his teachings also weren't written down until some time after. And, you know, because in one sense we're very fortunate because we have so much recorded and written information, almost 90% of what Prabhupada spoke in a lecture was recorded. Prabhupada had the presence of mind to record his teachings right from, you know, 26 Second Avenue. Prabhupada recorded, so, you know, we have so much. What we also need to do is we also need a theology, if you like, of, you know, what Prabhupada did and how he reacted to things. So we need to refine things a little bit, but we're quite fortunate because we have a very clear philosophy. There's no ambiguity. Whereas, as you mentioned, you know, within the Christian tradition, we get a range of different flavors of understanding Jesus and, you know, his relationship with the Father. We have the Holy Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And there is an emphasis on the divinity of Christ. There's no doubt about it. And we recognize that also, yes. You know, the servant of God is also an elevated and divine presence, divine person. But we differentiate in saying, but he's not God. In one sense, we're all God. We're all manifestations or expansions of God's energy. But this is our philosophy is Ajinsha Veda Abheda Tattva, which says that whilst we're all God, at the same time, we're different. He has personality, we have personality, and that is Nitya, eternal. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamai Vansa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. The living entities are my parts and parcels, so they're coming from him. But at the same time, we have our eternal individuality, our eternal identity, separate from him. Huh? God is the source of everything. He's the source of our individuality. He's the source of our personality. He's the source of our existence. So in one sense, we can say we are God because we come from him. But by the same token, we're also different from him or separate from him. Huh? So these are subtle points of understanding. We would suggest to people, Jesus is definitely divine. But he isn't God, the original God. He is the servant of God, if you like the spiritual master. So that's how we tend to generally see Jesus as the spiritual teacher, as the spiritual master, which is what he did. Taught people how to serve God. And it seems, at least from the teachings in the Gospel, that he didn't really promote himself as God. Right? He taught how to serve God. Alright, I think we should move on to the next stage of our service. Kandra Shina Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shina Prabhupada Ki Jai.